appreciate another opportunity to come before you in defense of the proposition that a child of God may receive forgiveness for sins done in ignorance before and without learning of them. As I pointed out before, a thing does not have to be found word for word in the Bible in order to be scriptural. Now, Brother Don, he kept pressing me for this. Where is the passage that waves, or that specifically waves? And what I tried to show is that the general tenor of Scripture in dealing with what is involved in going to heaven is such that we can, that it is inescapable, logically unavoidable, something derived as a conclusion from facts or premises in the Scripture, that a child of God may receive forgiveness of sins done in ignorance before and without learning of them. This does not mean that a man who is a child of God can receive forgiveness of any sin he wants to be forgiven of without repenting of it and claiming that he is ignorant. I'm talking about the individual who is ignorant and, again, who is walking in the light. Right, my chart, the colorful one there, please. Now, in my two speeches in the negative, I looked at all the patch charts. It took me two speeches. But I looked at all of Pat's charts, and he had about two or maybe twice as many as I did, and he hasn't looked at any of mine yet, I don't believe. But here is the individual who is seeking a higher plane. Now, Pat says, well, we'll deal with what Pat says in a moment, but a higher plane. Well, here's the things that must be left behind, these immoralities. They've got to be left behind. Well, how can we be left behind? We're going to have to learn of them. And it's going to take a while to learn of all of them. But until you learn of all of them, you have no assurance according to Pat. Because until you learn of all of them, you might be guilty of one of them. And until you learn of it and confess it specifically in terms of it, you can't receive forgiveness of it. And so there's no way until you've learned all of what you've got to leave behind and then leave it behind that you can ever know that you're walking in it. By the way, Pat, are you walking in the light? Are you? Not do you hope to walk in the light someday, but are you walking in the light? As I said before, I'm talking about the individual who is, though he has been a baby, and he may be a baby in Christ at this time, but at any stage in his life of spiritual development, he's adding to the faith virtue, the virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness love. Yes, I believe that individual, he may be ignorant of some sins, but as he returns from sins that he discovers in his life and asks God to, and confesses them and asks God to forgive of them and any and all sins that he's committed, I believe he is forgiven of sins of ignorance. Otherwise, we can never know from the time we become a Christian to the time that we die whether or not we are in fellowship with God at any one point. You can't possibly know it. There's no way you can know it. Not until you have a complete understanding of God's will and total recall of the past actions in your life. So this is the individual I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the individual who refuses to admit he is in sin. All right, so I want to look now at his chart in 4, please. His chart in 4. I'm going to try to look at all the charts introduced in his speech. All right, now, he talks about Alias Smith and Jones. I don't know if you saw this. I appreciate it. Using sometimes. I use the millionaire as an example of God's grace, you know, as you might, some of the older folks might remember that TV show. And I've used a TV show called The Tycoon to illustrate what I believe the Bible teaches about the incarnation. And so I'm not opposed to using television shows and their premises to illustrate what I believe the Bible teaches. But we need to understand and appreciate this fact: an illustration merely illustrates, an illustration doesn't prove anything. Now, Elliot Smith and Jones were a pair of train robbers, for those of you who do not know. That's pretty much what they lived for, robbing trains. And when they found out how much money was on their head, they got to being afraid that somebody was going to kill them for the bounty. And so they go to the law and they say, how can we get in? Well, I think one of the governors at that time, and I believe it's based on some fact here, one of the governors in that state offered amnesty. And one of the condition of that amnesty was, I believe, that they had to live for a year, go a year without committing any crime. And so that's the basis. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about Elliot Smith and Jones, for those that don't know. But let me point out that that is not an illustration of the Christian. That's an illustration of alien sinners. That's an illustration of alien sinners. Now, you saying that in order to become a Christian, as long as you straighten up and fly right for a year, well, we forgive you your sin. Well, that's not right. Does it imply that the crimes were committed while we were living right? No. Neither is it implied that walking in the light includes committing sin. Right now, what he says here is, what is implied is that the forgiveness occurs while we are walking in the light, but not the sin. The sin does not occur while we are walking in the light, he says. So something other than sin must result in our walking in darkness. If you've got to be out of the light in order to sin, and you'd have to if the sin does not occur while you're walking in the light, what is it that removes you from the light before you sin? If you're not in the light when you sin. I would like to see the bottom of the chart, please, Brent. That a Christian begins again his walk on. Now, John's not talking about beginning again your walk on the line. Now, Pat's position is, if we begin again to walk on the line, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from the sins that we committed while we were out of the light. That's not what Pat says. It says, if we walk in the light. But notice he says, a Christian begins again his walk on the light by repenting of and confessing the sins he committed while outside in disobedience to the light. So the sins then were committed outside the light. How did he get outside the light? Now, if he sinned to get outside the light, then he must have sinned while he was walking in the light, resulting in his not being in the light. But if sin did not take place in the light, then he says he begins again his walk in the light by repenting of and confessing the sins he committed while outside the light, so the repenting and confessing must not have taken place inside the light. If there are conditions of getting into the light again, then they can't not have taken place while walking in the light. And yet at the beginning of the chart, you said, can I see that again, Brent? That the forgiveness occurs while we're walking in the light, but not the sin. Now the confessing doesn't take place. Well, or maybe you're saying the confessing does take place in the light. Well, if the confessing does take place in the light, what is it between the sin and the confessing that puts it back in the light? The sin takes place in darkness, so the sin didn't result in him being in darkness. If confessing is in the light, the repenting and confessing are in the light, then something other than repenting and confessing put him back in the light. How do you get out of the light before he sinned and back in the light before he repented and confessed? Or are repenting and confessing conditions of getting back into the light? If that's the case, then repenting and confessing do not take place in the light. I'd just like to know that. Okay, he says we are to walk in the light as he is in the light. Well, I believe that passage. That wasn't the passage I was talking about when I said what I did. Yes, I believe we're to walk in the light as he is in the light. All right, but does that mean that we're to walk in the light to the degree that he walked in the light? And if it does, then it means that we've got to be sinlessly perfect, because that's what he wants. And it means we've got to be sinlessly perfect. We cannot be guilty of any sin of ignorance. And thus, if there's anything of which you're ignorant concerning God's will, you're not walking in the light. So I ask you again, are you walking in the light? And if you're not walking in light, you're walking in darkness. 1 John 2:10, not occasionally, but look at that passage. And maybe you just missed it on that. Well, I know you just missed it on it. And I'll put it down to a mistake and not a deliberate misuse of the passage. But 1 John 2:10, take it in the context of verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Well, why is that? Well, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's not occasion of stumbling in it. That's not saying that there's no sin. That's saying there's no occasion of stumbling. He won't cause his brother to sin by hating him if he's in the light. That's what that's saying. There's no occasion of stumbling. He won't cause his brother to stumble by hating him. Rather, he'll love him. And so, right, if an individual is hating his brother, he's not in the light. Then he says, let me see here, maybe some other points I want to make on this chart. Galatians 2:11-4, Peter didn't have a love of truth when he did what he did there. That was such a place after the thing in Acts chapter 15 where they all agreed that it was necessarily implied that a man did not have to be circumcised in order to be saved. Peter turned his back on the truth and that wasn't a sin of ignorance. And Acts chapter 8, that wasn't a sin of ignorance. He saw what the apostles had, and rather than wanting perhaps what they had to give to him, which was a spiritual gift, he wanted the power to grasp all the spiritual gifts. His heart was not right with God. Are you saying that everybody who's guilty of a sin of ignorance is in a gall of bitterness?